Good morning. It is time to get up with Aaron, whose future is in jeopardy. You will hear him address it more directly than ever before. We'll start there. Then we will explain why the specter of another superstar hovers over practically every pick in the upcoming draft. And we're going to the tape to get the real story once and for all on the most intriguing quarterback story of the year. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now. Greeny at the Seaport, hope you had a wonderful weekend. Thanks for getting up with us, and what a night it was on ESPN. We had a champion crowned in college basketball in a game that literally went to the final second. We had history on the diamond involving Shohei Ohtani in a game that also had a fantastic finish. Complete highlights of both are on the way. But we begin with the latest from the NFL, and look who we have here to talk about it. The squad is ready to go. Shefty's breaking stories. Orlovsky's broken out the glasses. Dominique is ready to go, and Mel Kiper is getting set for the draft. It begins today with Aaron Rodgers, who makes his debut tonight as the host of Jeopardy as we continue to contemplate his future in Green Bay. And on Friday, he was with our Kenny Mayne, asked about finishing his career with the Packers. Here's what he said.
You know, there's things that are just out of my control. The team has obviously the power to do what they want. My job is just to play as well as I can.
Well, when you say things like that, then things get misinterpreted. Wouldn't you like to just proclaim, I'm there, I'm your guy. I want to keep throwing for Lombardi Avenue all day.
Ken, you and I both know that's not how it works.
Well, isn't that a fascinating thing for him to say? A person who has always been in complete control of how everything works, acknowledging that this is sort of out of his hands. Adam Schefter, what can you tell us is the latest as far as Aaron Rodgers is concerned, I guess, both football and Jeopardy?
I thought that was really telling and really interesting, Greeny. And he answered the question in a non-answer kind of way. And then Kenny Mayne went back to him and gave him the chance to say, yeah, I'm going to finish as a Packer. And he never did. And again, you can read into what you want. The fact of the matter is the Packers went out last year and traded up in the draft to go draft a quarterback. When you do that, you're sending a message, and they sent a message to Aaron Rodgers about his future in Green Bay. Again, we said then, we'll say now. It's on the clock. He's on the clock. You don't know how it plays out, but clearly there are issues between the two sides, so much so that Green Bay management has had to address them during the offseason. And in recent weeks, they've had to go to Aaron Rodgers to address them. So clearly he's got questions about whether he can finish there. And I think a coach like Matt LaFleur would love to have Aaron Rodgers and doesn't want anything to happen. But I think that there are so many things that have happened. And look, we see it over time. Tom Brady didn't finish in New England. Aaron Rodgers has been there 16 years. Is he going to finish in Green Bay? I would say, to answer Kenny Mayne's question, the chances are no.
Well, put it in the form of an answer, because he's hosting Jeopardy this week. Who is one of the great quarterbacks of all time who is unlikely to finish his career in Green Bay right now? Someone ring in and say Aaron Rodgers. Dan Orlovsky, what do you think of this?
Well, I love the fact that Shefty just brought up Tom Brady, because both of these guys are athletes motivated by spite, right? And so Aaron knows what has transpired. And the reality is that Green Bay has brought this issue upon themselves with last year's draft. And so now you've got to, like, I'm going to know the first night of the draft what the Green Bay Packers' long-term view with Aaron Rodgers is. Because in that Thursday night of round one of the NFL draft, if they don't move up to get a receiver or they don't move up to get an impactful front seven player on their defense, then I think that Aaron Rodgers will be playing his last year in Green Bay. But if they do go get somebody that, like, can help them go win the Super Bowl now but also be a part of the future with Aaron, then I look at it and say, okay, maybe Green Bay is coming to their senses. We will know round one of the NFL draft.
Why do you look skeptical to me, Dominique?
I mean, because they already did the thing. They drafted a quarterback last year. It's nothing they can do this year to make up for that. Yeah. I mean, they can't make it any worse unless they decide they want to draft another quarterback in the first round, which is going to be really outrageous. But you already drafted a quarterback. I don't understand. I understand Dan's point is if they get a receiver, if they get someone who could be impactful now, but who else could you get? There is no bad pick at this point. They need some help on defense. I mean, you could debate whether they need a receiver as much as some people think they do, but I don't know. Short of drafting another quarterback, they can't mess this up because they've already messed it up. They've already sent the message at the beginning.
I just think, Dom, like, last year they took two backups that were part of the developmental aspect of their future, right? And so I have been steadfast this offseason, like Green Bay, take something from the future, a draft pick from the future, and go get somebody that you sit there and go, this is directly tied to us trying to go win one with Aaron over the next maybe 2 or 3 years, not a backup tailback that you're going to develop or a quarterback that you're going to go develop. And that's why I think we will know round one. We will, because actions speak louder than words. And we've seen the lack of the draft pick, the lack of the restructuring of the contract to free open space. And I think that Schefter point with Tom Brady's a big deal. Like, here's the worst thing that could happen to the Packers. Aaron Rodgers goes out and throws for another 48 touchdowns and has an MVP type of season. Then what do they do? Like, are they really going to pass on Aaron Rodgers after back-to-back seasons of throwing almost 100 touchdowns? That would be the most fascinating part of this situation.
Go ahead, Shefty.
Well, again, I think we've heard from Aaron Rodgers now twice since their season ended. And the first time came after the season ended in that loss to Tampa Bay. And he came out, and that started all this conversation about his future and what would happen, because he certainly seemed to be taking a passive-aggressive approach to finishing his career in Green Bay and being there long-term. And then you heard him there with Kenny Mayne over the weekend. And it didn't sound to me like anything had changed. It sounded like the same issues that were there in January still are there. The same questions that were there in January still are there. And the same doubts about him being in Green Bay long-term that were there then still are there now.
All right, we will see him on Jeopardy tonight, if you are so inclined, and we will have more on this as we go a little later. Dominique and I are going to read the body language, because there's nothing he and I both love more than psychoanalyzing people we barely know. In the meantime, let's stay with other quarterback news, and that would be Sam Darnold's future in New York, which remains highly uncertain, with the Jets heavily expected to take a quarterback at number 2 overall. Now, this weekend, Darnold's former teammate, Josh McCown, friend of the show, told our Jets reporter, Rich Cimini, that Darnold would welcome competition from a rookie quarterback, saying, quote, Sam would embrace it and be helpful, but he'd also go out and work hard and try to make the most of the opportunity to play this year and put it back on them and make them have to make a tough decision at the end of the year. So, Shefty, is that just the kind of thing that you say when you're in Josh McCown's position and you don't want to say what you really think, which is Darnold needs to get the heck out of there if they're taking a quarterback? What did you think of that?
I don't think much of that. Josh McCown knows how to handle himself as well as anybody in the league. And I think he knows the situation. And the situation is this. It looks like the Jets are tracking to take a quarterback at number 2. It looks like they're tracking to make Zach Wilson from BYU the pick at number 2. And so in a perfect world, you're going to continue to listen and entertain offers from Sam Darnold and to see which team is going to be willing to trade for him. Now, here's the issue, Greeny, is that the market of teams, the pool of teams interested in Sam Darnold today seems smaller than it would have been at the beginning of the offseason when many of these teams have gone out and addressed and added quarterbacks. Washington signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. Chicago signed Andy Dalton. The Rams traded for Matthew Stafford. The Lions, Jared Goff. The Colts, Carson Wentz. And so there aren't a lot of obvious landing spots anymore for Sam Darnold. So who's still out there right now? Carolina still has not addressed its quarterback position. I think it will at some point, whether it's Deshaun Watson, the draft, Sam Darnold, whatever it may be. Carolina, Denver, short of that, there's not a lot of obvious quarterback spots. To me, a team that would make a lot of sense would be Pittsburgh. That would be an intriguing matchup where they go out and get a quarterback for the future again. But there are not the number of teams today that would be potential landing spots for Darnold as they were at the beginning of the offseason.
That's exactly right. Yeah, he goes going into the fourth year of his rookie contract, which also, I think, complicates it a little bit for teams that may acquire him. Let me bring the rest of the crew in this morning, and that includes, as we showed you, Mel Kiper Jr. And so, Mel, as you consider all of this here, what's the first thought that jumps into your mind?
Don't give Sam Darnold away for a third-round pick. I've said it all week. I think when you look at Sam Darnold, I still think he's the best option here, not drafting a rookie. But if they do draft Zach Wilson, keep Sam Darnold. Let him battle it out. Sam's going to be the guy. If Sam turns out to be Josh Allen and has a phenomenal year because he has finally some talent around him and the right coaching staff, then you can move Zach Wilson for a haul. If Sam Darnold is just okay, then he moves on as a free agent and Zach Wilson becomes your guy. But I think moving Sam Darnold for a three and let him go hit somewhere else, you're already by drafting a quarterback losing Kyle Pitts. You're not going to get a receiver or Pitts, receiving entity like Pitts, or a Jamar Chase or a Devontae Smith or a Jalen Waddle. So you're giving up four great receiving options for Sam Darnold by drafting Wilson. Don't compound the problem by moving Darnold and gifting him away for a third-round draft choice.
What do you think of all this, Dan? As a quarterback and knowing the quarterback's mentality, Dan, what do you think?
Absolutely not. You do not have both of these guys in the building at the same time. One, if you're thinking about keeping Sam Darnold and drafting Zach Wilson, don't draft Zach Wilson. Sam Darnold's value right now should have no bearing on your decision whether you're going to take Zach Wilson or not for the New York Jets. You're taking Zach Wilson to change your franchise, to change your organization, not because you're unsure of where Sam Darnold is. If you're taking Zach Wilson, it's not because of what you're going to get for Sam Darnold. You're taking Zach Wilson because of what you're going to get from Zach Wilson, okay? Now, I have been outspoken. I completely agree with Mel. The best situation for the New York Jets is to keep Sam Darnold and trade the number two pick for an absolute haul. The more likely situation is that you hit on four or five first rounders over the next two drafts and you rebuild your football team and Sam Darnold proves to be a very high-end starting quarterback in the NFL more than you take Zach Wilson, he all of a sudden becomes Patrick Mahomes. That is the more likely situation, but you do not keep both these guys in your building at the same time.
Go ahead. I want to let Mel. I was so entertained by Mel's. Dominique, I think you and I both want to hear what Mel has to say to that. Go ahead, Mel.
Couldn't disagree more with Dan on that. When you had Troy Aikman and Steve Walsh, they were there together with Dallas, Dan, and they ended up trading Steve Walsh, the Cowboys did, for a pretty good amount of picks coming back from the New Orleans Saints. You think about when Aaron Rodgers was already drafted in Green Bay, and he was being developed in Green Bay, Dan. People forget, who did they draft in the second round when Aaron was ready to be the guy? One Brian Brohm coming out of Louisville. They brought Brian Brohm into that quarterback room to challenge and be there with Aaron Rodgers because they weren't really sure about what they had. You don't know what Sam Darnold is. He's 23 years of age. He's been through a lot. We like him. Now surround him with talent, but they don't know. This is a new GM who didn't draft Sam Darnold. Joe Douglas didn't draft him. He's been there now, but now he wants his own quarterback. Fine. You don't know what Zach Wilson's going to be. You know what Sam Darnold will be. Put them both out there. They didn't know what Walsh and Aikman would be. In fact, that preseason, guys, there were analysts saying that, hey, it's obvious to everybody, Steve Walsh moves this Cowboy offense better than Troy Aikman. Well, it didn't work out that way in the end, right? They traded Walsh. Why not have Darnold, and Darnold's 23. Zach Wilson comes in. Why not find out who your best quarterback is? Then gifting away Sam Darnold for a third-round pick and letting somebody else benefit from Darnold, who I think can be a really good quarterback in this league.
Because you can't move on with the relationship if you're still tied to the past one. The Jets have to move on. If they are moving on from Sam Darnold, move on from him. You know, like, it's
who
not like Sam
are,
Darnold.
Dan? Who and, said they're moving on from Sam?
I don't know. But if they're taking Zach Wilson, they should. That's my point,
well,
Mel. Like,
well, Dallas had Aikman and brought Walsh in. Does that mean that they didn't want Aikman? They wanted to see who was best because they didn't know. When they drafted Brian Brohm and they had Aaron Rodgers, Dan, maybe it was because they weren't sure. Why would you draft Brian Brohm in the second round when you're developing Aaron Rodgers? Okay?
Because if you're
but
not,
they did.
Mel, if you're not sure that Zach Wilson is better than Sam Darnold, then don't draft Zach Wilson. Trade that pick for three or
Dan,
four.
Dan, nobody knows what these young quarterbacks will be. You can have all the intel you want. You don't know, but you know you have Darnold, who's been through a lot with a shoulder, mono, and a bad team and coaching staff. Now you got everything going. Why not give Sam Darnold a shot and then see what Wilson doesn't have to be the guy right away. Sam has to be the guy this year.
This was our first segment on a Monday. I got to take a quick break here, guys. Hang on. I'm coming back to all of this. Shefty, I promise. I'm coming to you in a minute. I have to go to a break. We have all these highlights we didn't get to there, but that's okay. We'll get them all in, I promise. And also coming up, we know Russell Wilson isn't happy with everything in Seattle. Question is, does that mean he'll be playing elsewhere? Shefty will answer that. And Justin Fields, his draft stock, is it slipping? Is that fair? We've got guys who don't agree with it at all. Mel will continue as we roll on. Just getting started. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists?
Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by the Lincoln family of luxury SUVs. Back with Shefty, and Shefty, let's run the hurry up through some quarterback situations, beginning with Deshaun Watson. What is the latest?
Listen, Greeny, the NFL is investigating all these suits that have been filed against him, and I think teams are investigating the situation to see what they can make of it. And meanwhile, we wait to hear from the Texans to decide what they're going to do with Deshaun Watson and whether they will keep him moving forward. I think there's a sense around the league that perhaps if they move on from him, the price could be discounted at this point for everything going on. But clearly, this is an unresolved situation in so many different ways. As for the 49ers, who traded up to number 3, Mac Jones absolutely is square in the conversation to become the number 3 overall pick. And we've heard the talk about Zach Wilson at quarterback. Now we're hearing Mac Jones at quarterback. Mac Jones is somebody that one general manager last week told me has elite accuracy. He's an elite processor, an elite leader, and that's why he is in the conversation to become the number 3 overall pick in this upcoming draft. And while we've talked about Aaron Rodgers and Sam Darnold, the talk about Russell Wilson in recent weeks has quieted down some, and it's quieted down some because the list of teams that he put out there essentially has moved on. The Cowboys re-signed Dak Prescott, the Saints re-signed Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, the Chicago Bears signed Andy Dalton, and the Raiders don't seem inclined to make any quarterback move, and that leaves the Seahawks and Russell Wilson back to square one. I continue to maintain that if the Seahawks came up with a solution in which they were insured of getting a quarterback that they believed in, I think that they would be open and interested in moving on from Russell Wilson, but they wouldn't do that without a surefire quarterback solution.
Yeah, and I guess I would ask you just as a follow-up, do we believe the Bears, with their acquisition of Andy Dalton, does that constitute moving on from this conversation for them, at least for this offseason?
What I would say is this. They couldn't make it happen before. What have they gained in assets that could make it happen now? The Bears are sitting there, I think, with the 20th overall selection. Mm-hmm. They don't have the pick to get up there. They don't have a quarterback to get up there. They didn't have the ammunition before. I don't know what's changed now as much as the Bears, I think, still would be open to acquiring somebody like Russell Wilson.
So, Dominique Foxworth, let me bring you in on this. In any direction you want to take it, we had the Bears coming out and doubling down on their acquisition of Andy Dalton over the weekend. We have the Russell Wilson stuff hovering out there. He spent the weekend watching his sister win the national championship. What do you think of all this?
I mean, it still shocks me. Every week when Adam says that it is not out of the question that the Seahawks are considering it, it shocks me every time like he just said it for the first time. But I do think the Bears situation, to Adam's point, they can't do much to make it happen. But looking at the Andy Dalton situation, and I know there are obvious reasons why they don't want to go with Mitchell Trubisky because of their history they have with him. But if you do like a blind analysis, I want the young player who is more athletic, who's been to a Pro Bowl that I can convince myself could get better. Maybe if he changed his name to M.True, it would sound a little better. But right now, Mitchell Trubisky isn't the guy that you want in Chicago for obvious reasons. But I would be more optimistic about, look at those numbers. I'd be more optimistic about the young guy who has those numbers than I would be about Andy Dalton right now.
What do you think of this whole thing, Dan? The way it has all been handled has been so strange from the very beginning. Where do you stand?
Well, I think there's two things that need to happen for Russell Wilson to not be there, and Schefter hit on one of them. The Seattle Seahawks are going to have to find a quarterback that they absolutely love. And whether that's in, not free agency, but a trade with an NFL team, the only guy that I could think to be out there would be Sam Darnold or the draft. Now, if it is the draft, if their scouting department and Pete Carroll and John Schneider and their coaches find a guy in the draft that they love, the reality is that the Seahawks are then going to have to go to another step and find a third team to get involved into this. They don't have a first-round pick. Okay, their first-round pick was sent to New York for Jamal Adams. So it's not only finding a guy that they love and that they believe can kind of replace Russell, but you got to find a third team to get in the dance with you to acquire some form of a draft pick to then go get said quarterback that they like. So while I think that Russell's time in Seattle is numbered, they're going to have to find a quarterback and then a third team to make it happen.
It's worth reminding everyone that Russell Wilson, who has been a superstar for a long time now, was a third-round pick himself. And there are other quarterbacks in this coming draft besides the five we always talk about, like Davis Mills and Kellen Mond and Kyle Trask. We'll see if they decide to go in one of those directions. I agree, it doesn't seem likely. Guys, stand by. We have much more football to go. But to the game of the night, and it was another thriller. The Women's National Championship on the line, Arizona-Stanford. Pick it up fourth quarter because this was a barn burner. Under 4 minutes to go, Arizona down four. How good was Ari McDonald in this tournament? Knocking down a three. She had 22. It's a one-point game. 2.5 to go. Still Stanford by one. Haley Jones in the lane. Doing the work. Plus the foul. She scored 17. It's a four-point game. Arizona makes three free throws. 15 seconds to go. Stanford by one. Looking to put it away. Kiana Williams. Wait a minute. This is not what we drew up. Stanford turns it over. Timeout Arizona. 6 seconds left. Here comes the championship play. Ari McDonald, the star of the season, with the opportunity. They're all over it defensively. 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds. This is the shot they get for the title, and it doesn't go. Stanford holds on. Its first championship since 1992. First time ever on the men's or women's side that both the semi and the final were decided by 1 point.
This program is what it is because of Tara. So the legacy that she's created and just being able to be recruited by her and now be a part of the team, it's just an honor to be able to do this for her and with her.
It was about 6.1 seconds left maybe. I got denied hard. I tried to turn the corner. They sent three at me. I took a tough contested shot, but I mean, it didn't fall. So that's what I remember.
Boy, did she play great. All right, we're rolling on here. Justin Fields dropping to number 11 in McShay's latest mock. We have some people here who have some serious problems with that. You will hear from them, and you will hear from Dan going head-to-head with Sneaky Hembo. Which draft-eligible quarterback threw the most touchdown passes over the last two seasons? That's the question. The answer is next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we are back on Get Up. And Dan Orlovsky, Hembo is coming for you. Which draft-eligible quarterback threw the most touchdown passes over the last two seasons?
I am going to say a little bit off the beaten path and go from Texas A&M, Kellen Mond.
Not a bad guess, but it isn't right. The answer is Kyle Trask.
Kyle Trask.
Kyle Trask out of Florida, was a backup in high school, was a Heisman finalist this year, threw 68 touchdowns over the last two seasons. We're talking a lot about quarterbacks today. That brings us back to Shefty. Shefty, give us some updates on teams with pressing quarterback situations, beginning with the Steelers. Adam.
Well, we've spent less time talking about the Steelers when their need at that position might be as significant as just about any teams in the league. Again, Ben Roethlisberger, we've seen Philip Rivers retire from the game. We've seen Eli Manning retire from the game. He's the last man standing from that draft class. And unless they believe in Mason Rudolph or Duck Hodges, then the Steelers have to begin to find somebody to replace Ben Roethlisberger. Is it in the draft? Is it Sam Darnold? What are they doing? And how about the Carolina Panthers, Greeny? They still have not addressed the quarterback position. We do know that the Panthers owner, David Tepper, is an enormous Deshaun Watson fan. Could the Panthers try to make a move there? Or are they going to be late to the party with where they're picking in the draft now that the 49ers have traded up? How does Matt Rhule and the Panthers handle the quarterback question they want to have answered this upcoming offseason right now? There are no obvious answers. Carolina is an intriguing situation, as is New England. Yes, they re-signed Cam Newton. Yes, they signed him to a contract that was more like the one that would give them flexibility to make another quarterback move. There was some thought in the 49ers organization that perhaps the Patriots would have been interested in trading up to draft a quarterback like a Mac Jones. Maybe they sit where they are. Maybe they come up. Would they still be interested in Jimmy Garoppolo to make a push? The Patriots are one of those teams that continue to be monitored as it pertains to quarterbacks in this draft. Maybe it's finding one of those mid-round values like you outlined before in your extensive draft preparation, Greeny.
Oh, you know it. Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. They've had experience doing that. So there are a million quarterback questions. One of the answers is going to be Justin Fields. Let's talk about him. He has the second-best college QBR since that metric was developed in 2004. Only Tua Tagovailoa ever was higher. But if there's a complaint, he struggled under pressure, especially in 2020. His QBR fell by 80 points when pressured and by nearly 30 points against teams that finished the season ranked. The athleticism is off the charts. He ran an unofficial 4.44 at the 40 at his pro day, the only faster quarterback at the NFL Combine since 2006 was RG3. In his latest mock, you see that McShay has five quarterbacks going in the top 11. You can spin that any way you want with regards to Fields. He's a top 11 pick, which is still very high. Or you can say he's the fifth quarterback in this draft, so you can really look at that in either direction you want. Let's look at the tape. Dan Orlovsky. Let's look at the, what does the tape tell us about Justin Fields?
Well, one of the things that has been said about Justin Fields when it comes to his play is like he struggles to process, meaning he struggles to get to the second, third, or fourth progression. And my dispute for months has been that is not what the tape says. This is a perfect example of it. This play is known as a full progression read. Now, the full progression read you're going to have is a flat route, you're going to have a go route, you're going to have a deep cross, and then you're going to have what's known as a big post. Now, full progression reads matter because the coverage that the quarterback gets does not dictate who are we going to start on. It doesn't matter. We are always going to start on number one, the flat route. And then we will go to two, the go route. Three, that deep cross, and four. Now, what is the coverage from Nebraska's defense? Now, it's quarter, quarter, half. That corner's got that cover two flat. That safety's got a half field. This safety's got a quarter field, and you got a quarter field. Now, everyone really focus on this safety right here, because when he's got a quarter of the field, Dom can tell you he's going to have vision on that deep cross. And just watch how Justin Fields gets through this. One, to two, to three, to four. 2.5 seconds, he gets all the way backside and throws an absolute dime. But I want to show you exactly Justin Fields going through that progression. Again, reminder, you got the go route, the flat route. Here comes that deep cross, and we're going to have the big post on the outside. Let's really focus on Justin Fields' eyes going through his progressions and telling me he can't get to number four. Now, here we go. There's one. Look at, he's got his eyes here confirming, okay, is it really going to be cover two over there? Is my flat route not there? That corner's low. It's not there. Is my go route going to be? Nope, nope, that safety's high. It's not there. Not there. Now he comes back and he goes to what? I told you guys here was this cross, right? Now what number did I tell you? One, two, three. He is the third progression in the read. And as Fields is staring there, he realizes, well, that safety's got eyes on that crosser. That's not there. Now let me get to four. Now here comes four, that big post. He's got vision on it there. Again, this is number four in the progression. Get to it. Find it, launch it downfield, make the absolute perfect throw, touchdown. So the question isn't Justin Fields, can he process? Can he get to three or four? Yes, when he's asked to. I'm not going to hold it against him because his coach is really good, and number one, gets open a lot, and two, he's got good receivers. When they get open, he throws it to them. Justin Fields is plenty good getting to two, three, and four in his progressions.
It's so well done, Dan. Thank you for that. And let me bring the crew in here because there's so much to talk about with him. And Mel, obviously, is the one that I want to hear from. But first, I want to try and get Dominique in here if I can. There we go. And Neek, there's been so much conversation around this player over the course of the last week or so. Just sitting back as you do, what do you take away from all of it?
I mean, first of all, I'm a little intimidated by Mel. His dramatic lighting makes him look like a Bond villain. I do not want him to get angry at me like he did at Dan earlier. So I agree with you, Mel. Before you say anything, I agree. And as for Justin Fields, the thing that I think is most stressful is we saw him being the only quarterback that it felt like that is plummeting while all the other quarterbacks are skyrocketing. And when I saw that happening last week, of course, red flags go up in my mind. So I go back and start to watch some more Mac Jones, some more Justin Fields. And I think the fairest criticism of Justin Fields is that that offense is not really NFL-style plays, so they don't give him a lot of that stuff. The play that Dan just showed is absolutely an NFL concept that he showed the ability to get through. But the stressful part, I think, or frustrating part is there are just as many bad plays from these other four quarterbacks and just as many question marks of these other four quarterbacks as you have for Justin Fields. But it feels like right now that Justin Fields is getting all the criticism, and because of that, he's plummeting. And part of that may be just because the 49ers are moving up and people need reasons to justify them moving up to get Mac Jones. But it does feel like the criticism is uneven for Justin Fields and several of the other quarterbacks right now.
Go ahead, Mel.
Yeah, I think it's a lot to go through here with Justin Fields. And they touched on the things. Dano's touched on a lot of things. But I think when you look at falling, is that going to hurt your quarterback's chances? No, it's not going to hurt. It doesn't mean anything. Sometimes it motivates. Josh Allen, I thought, would go number one in the draft. I think he went around seven. Two other quarterbacks went ahead of him. Justin Herbert went behind Joe Burrow and Tua. You think about where Ben Roethlisberger went. He fell behind Manning and Rivers when I thought he was the second best quarterback in that draft and would go equally as high as the other two. Aaron Rodgers dropped into the 20s when 3 weeks before that draft, everybody thought he was going to go number one over Alex Smith. In terms of Justin Fields, and I'm going to go to Dan Orlovsky and say, Dan, you don't have to apologize for anything. I've brought a lot to the table in terms of evaluations on quarterbacks in 43 years. I've been critical of some. Yeah. And some of those quarterbacks I was critical of went number one in a draft, number two in a draft, number three in a draft. Didn't affect where they went. Teams are going to do their due diligence. They're going to make their decisions based on what their intel brings to that organization. Dano brought up what he heard by some teams. That's great. You bring that to the table, and then you put it out there. It doesn't matter. It's not going to affect where this kid goes in the draft. Teams are going to make that call and figure out, is it right? Is it not? Should it bother? Should it not? There was a quarterback here in Baltimore. There are some questions, but he's got a Super Bowl ring. He had 10 really good years, okay? I didn't have to get up at 3 o'clock to do this show and still bring energy. I could have got up at 6:30. So everybody's different, and everybody grows and matures and develops and evolves once they're a professional. So, like I say, for Dan, bring it. Bring any information you have, and don't worry about any criticisms out there. Teams are going to make that call ultimately.
Shefty, go ahead.
I appreciate that.
First of all, that's awesome, Mel. That is fantastic. And that is wisdom that only the godfather of the draft could provide, like Mel Kiper does. And that's really what this entire process leading up to the draft is. It is a process in which every prospect in this draft, especially the quarterbacks, are taken apart by every front office, and they're taken apart publicly in many cases. And so there are many things that are drawbacks on each of these quarterbacks. And in this particular case, Dan, you put out something on Justin Fields. There have been some other people that have had questions about him. That's the way it is. He's still going to be a high pick. He may not be quite as high as we thought initially when this process started, but he still has the chance to be a great quarterback in the league, and that will be entirely up to him. But great job by you, Mel. Great job.
Now, Dominique, final word.
Oh, no, I mean, we don't have to turn this into a conversation on how to cover athletes, but I do think it's important, and Mel knows this being around draft analysis a long time, it's important to be aware of the context that surrounds the black quarterback. So I think that's what people were frustrated, and this is weird to have a conversation about Dan and not let Dan speak about it, but I think that was the frustrating part. That's the part that people felt frustrated about Dan, is that it kind of mirrored some of those tropes. Whether it's true or not, acknowledging that you're aware of them, I think, is the most important part. And Dan and I have talked about all this stuff off air, where these conversations tend to happen.
Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, Dom's right. For me personally, great learning lesson. I appreciate Mel's words a ton. I think at the end of the day, the great thing about sports is that the athlete has the opportunity to prove people right, prove people wrong, prove themselves right, or prove themselves wrong. And that's the reality with Justin Fields. That's the reality with Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, all these guys. They are going to have the opportunity when going to the NFL. That's all that matters, guys. When you go there, what you do with what you've been given, okay? And so Justin Fields is going to get drafted by a team, and he's going to have the opportunity to prove a lot of those people that drafted him right, or prove the people that said something about him or didn't think he could play wrong. And that is the most important thing, what you do when you get there.
And to bring it back, because none of these things happen in a vacuum, but Mel, someone like you will put together a big board that does exist in a vacuum, just who you think are the best prospects. As you rank them, where do you have him amongst the quarterbacks?
You know, I don't like to move players. Or once I make a decision, I try to hold firm going even back 43 years. I don't change on quarterback. Once you lock in it, you really like a quarterback or you don't. And, you know, you're going to put him. I have Justin Fields as the second highest rated quarterback. I haven't changed on that. And to the point, I was said to have a vendetta against a program because I didn't have the quarterback or said some negative things. And that quarterback went second in the draft. There was no vendetta against the program. So you're going to hear a lot of things and defending quarterbacks by people who should defend them. But like I said, for all our guys, don't be afraid to make any comments. It's not going to impact where that player goes.
Okay, fair enough. So we will see. Again, these are the kinds of questions that get answered 3.5 weeks from now with round one of the NFL draft, 3 weeks from Thursday. Everybody stay put. So much more on this as we go. Also a reminder that we have a baseball quadruple header for you coming your way. Four series openers on ESPN, starting with the Twins and Tigers at 1 Eastern, then Cleveland's home opener against Kansas City, Rays and Red Sox play at 7 Eastern, and finally, the White Sox in Seattle to start a three-game series with the Mariners, a quadruple header on ESPN, and you can watch all the action on the ESPN app. And another reminder that Get Up is brought to you in part by Wendy's, a proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. More quarterback conversation as we go. Dak Prescott was putting up MVP caliber numbers before his injury last season. Will he be in the MVP discussion this season? That answer is next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Here we go. It is that time. Well, I will ask a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions to that man, Dominique Foxworth, and whether he's ready to or not, he has no choice but to answer them. And it starts with this. You are the president of the Dak Prescott. Actually, you're now a member of the Dak Prescott family. Here we go. Will he win MVP of the NFL next season?
I mean, when you set it up like that, absolutely. Of course. I think we accept that the MVP award is a narrative award. It's about the story that you can tell. And Dak Prescott is setting up to tell a really good story because 2 years ago, he was awesome. Last year, at the beginning of the season, he was fantastic. And his team was really bad with him and also even worse without him. So if he comes back and they manage to win that division that's not very good, he managed to continue to have a great season or to have another great season, I think it's set up. And being in Dallas doesn't hurt. He's going to be on Get Up every day because we love talking Cowboys. He's going to get a lot of attention. If they happen to win the division and play well with Dak Prescott bouncing back from that atrocious season they had last year, then I do think that he has an inside track for the MVP award.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Actually, watching them play without him last year, I almost voted for him there. Next, will Daniel Jones ever win a Super Bowl with the Giants? Neek.
Oh. Man, I like that. Nice, easy question. Of course not. No, he's not going to win a Super Bowl with the Giants. I actually think Daniel Jones, I was surprised when they drafted him as highly as they did, and I thought he was going to be really terrible. We're showing bad highlights or low lights of him right now, but I think Daniel Jones is better than I anticipated. He's going to end up playing somewhere else and playing well somewhere else, but I think the issue with Daniel Jones, obviously, is turning the ball over, and also, they can't protect him. So we haven't seen the best of Daniel Jones. When they do protect him, he's a different quarterback than when they don't. They haven't gotten in the resources to protect him, so I suspect he's going to have another subpar year, and maybe, hopefully for his sake, he ends up somewhere else in free agency where they can protect him and give him the things he needs, and he might be able to be like a middle to high NFL-type quarterback.
I'm just picturing the looks on the faces of all the Giant fans right now as you were saying, no, he won't win a Super Bowl with the Giants, but he will win one somewhere else.
Maybe.
All right, last question. Who will be the best rookie quarterback from this year's draft?
Oh, whoever the 49ers draft. And if I'm going to accept that they're going to bring in Mac Jones, then it'll be him. If they decide to go with Justin Fields, it will be him. Because I think we put a lot into this analysis, and we should. It's fun to talk about these players, but the quarterback position is the most dependent position in all of major sports. And he's going to be walking into quite possibly the best situation I could think of for a top five quarterback pick. He has two game-breaking receivers, possibly the best tight end in the league, a running back that can go 90 and runs a 4-3, and possibly the best offensive line in the league. Like, I can't – oh, not to mention – the best offensive mind in the league in Kyle Shanahan. Whomever the 49ers draft, you can go ahead and mark it down. That's going to be the rookie of the year.
I like that a lot. Could be the rookie of the year and could wind up setting himself up for the best career. Neek, outstanding. Thank you. Much more football as we go. But right now, to the hoops.
Here comes Suggs. Long three for the win. Banks at home. Banks at home. Jalen Suggs. A deep banked three to Stan Gonzaga. One step closer to history.
I don't know. I've always wanted to run up on the table and, you know, like Kobe and D-Wade and go like that. And, I mean, that's the first thing I did.
What a game. What a moment. And Jay Williams has made his way over. What are we doing here, Jay Will?
I'm thanking the basketball gods for giving us the game that we deserve, Greeny. This is the game that we deserve.
Tonight.
NBA-type talent. We've been talking about this forever. College basketball has been in a weird place, right? Over the last couple years, we've had Zion Williamson. Paid attention to everything he did. Before that, Trae Young. Paid attention to everything he did. Now we have this Gonzaga team, who everybody has this narrative. They never get challenged. Even though they're non-conference, they played extremely good teams, right? But in WCC, do they deserve it? Are they the greatest team ever? Now we actually get a chance to see them go against the top team, the second best team, or maybe the best team in college basketball in Baylor. We have the two best teams in the national championship game. That never happens.
In some way, the fact that they didn't get to play during the season, for the worst possible reasons, obviously, it was COVID-related, but it does set up now this extraordinary meeting between these two, and you're right. If you watched the games on Saturday, Baylor looked like an unstoppable machine.
And their guards, they pressure you, they get in your pocket. And look, Jalen Suggs, he made one of the most iconic shots in the history of the game, okay? As it relates to the Final Four and National Championship games, there's probably only two games I would put ahead of this. Maybe the Lorenzo Charles dunk for NC State,
yeah.
And then the Chris Jenkins three he made from the three-point line. But he's iconic for this. But one of the things, they always play at their speed, Greeny. You know what happens? Like when I'm up in your face, I'm in your pocket, and I make you start talking fast and playing fast, that's what Baylor's going to do. I want to see if that's real against elite, elite talent. We'll get a chance to find that out.
Well, so give us a quick preview of this thing here. What are the keys? If we sit down and watch this game tonight, what should we be watching for early that would suggest you like it leaning one way or the other?
Davion Mitchell going against the likes of Jalen Suggs, right? Davion Mitchell's one heck of a defender. They give you a variety of looks defensively. He will take on the challenge. Jared Butler's another guy. Look, Baylor has three guards. Four guards, actually. They play up and down. They play in your face. Controlling the tempo is going to be big. And then also down low, Drew Timmy, me calling the mustache man, yeah. Right? Playing that way, they average 50 points per game in the paint. They need to have that advantage tonight in order to beat Baylor. But don't get it twisted. I have Baylor winning this game. I think Baylor has the talent. I think Scott Drew has done a phenomenal job coaching his team, but I think they have more playmakers down the stretch if they can speed Gonzaga up.
Well, it's a complicated question because on one hand, we're talking about Gonzaga being unbeaten and unbeatable and one of the great teams of all time. But who's the better team tonight? Which of these two teams is the better team going into the final?
If you're asking me coming off their final four games, I think Baylor is the better team. Baylor still has to make shots, though. The best teams don't always win the NCAA tournament.
Right.
It's a team that can finish and make the most shots and get hot. If Baylor can do that, they'll win tonight's game.
And isn't it crazy that this season, which has been unlike any other for so many reasons, you wind up with exactly the game that we wanted, which is why Jay Will is so happy. And that ball will be spinning all the way back across the hall.
Didn't know I can bring you out like MJ. You know I got the same.
I didn't know
you
that. I mean, there's nothing about this I'm comfortable with.
I'm done.
By the way, NBA doubleheader to Wednesday night on ESPN and the ESPN app. Zion and the Pelicans finishing up a three-game road trip against Kyrie and the Nets. That's at 7:30 Eastern. And then the top teams in the West going head-to-head. Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz take it on CP3 and the Suns. Our coverage begins with Stephen A's pregame sports center at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And yes, all that is well and good, but I insist we talk about golf. Did you watch Jordan Spieth yesterday? Ending a four-year slump by winning the Valero Texas Open, heading right into Augusta. He's got 10-1 odds to win the Masters this weekend, tied for second best behind only Dustin Johnson. Jordan Spieth finally back in the winner's column yesterday. Meanwhile, speaking of winners, Aaron Rodgers once again sounding like a guy whose days in Green Bay could be numbered. Shefty has the latest right after this. Get up on ESPN. And this feels amazing, 'cause they used to never show love.